That's funny.
All right, we're back for another episode of the show. As always, we got Gunny Matheson,
of the show,
Joe Schmidt, and our special guest tonight, Randy Paul. Randy, you're in town, I guess, for the world's greatest.
Yes, sir.
Former champion.
Yeah, I got lucky once.
Yeah. Well, I doubt that. And NRHA fraternity champion also. Let's not leave that out.
Yes,
up.
Sir.
2007, right? Is that the year?
2006.
2006. Yeah. Okay. I was off, but I was close.
And what year did you win the world's greatest?
2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got, can you just show, so tell us about the world's greatest. You can show one horse?
Yeah, one horse, and you have to use the same bit through the whole thing. They actually take a picture of it. And you can change your bridle reins for the roping. You can put roping reins on instead of your roll mouth. But so it's the cutting, the rein work, the steer stopping, and then the fence work.
Which everybody loves. Fence work's the best
part.
Oh,
yeah. Best for last.
Yeah. So what, you know, watching any of the cow horse stuff, I've kind of noticed, I don't know if this is real or not, but I've kind of noticed it looks like they kind of keep everybody close in the rein work and the cutting work, and they want it to be decided down the fence. Is that real, or is that just what
well,
it looks
I
like?
Think it's just the nature of the class. I don't think the judges do.
It just happens like that.
It's just the way it is, yeah. Especially in an event like that, or the open derbies, or the open bridle classes where it's tough, the horses are so good that, and if the cows are good, they're all marking pretty high. So they're all bunched up there.
Yeah, and it's like it's changed so much. I remember a long time ago when I was a kid watching some of the guys, when it was in Reno, watching a lot of the California guys and watching the reining has changed. The reining phase of it has changed so much. I mean,
oh yeah, big time. When I first got into it, I think it was 97 or something like that, when I first started doing the cowers seriously. And from then till the mid-2000s, it changed a bunch. And now it's just, you know, everybody's so good at it now. You know, the rein work's tough to do it as good as a reiner, obviously, because you're teaching them three other events.
Right.
And
you're reining on a horse that is paid or that's bred to think, you know?
Yeah, they're, in fact, Andrea, he and I chatted about that because he's been getting into the cow horse and doing really good. And he said, man, these cow horses, they're like when you're fencing them, they're so different because they're so quick and inquisitive. You know, they just don't have that. You know, the reiners are bred to have that little dumb streak, you know, where they can just not think too much and not be too reactive. And the cow horses have to be that way to be inquisitive about a cow. So they're difficult in the rein work because they're maybe overthinking a little bit.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I talked to Winston Hansma a little bit about it, and that's what he says. They're just completely different horses. You know, we want ours to wait on us for everything.
Yep.
And the cow horses want, and the cutters want those horses to anticipate. I mean,
they need to take over.
Yeah. Yep. Winston told me, like, a great cutter, if it gets beat once in a run, it won't get beat again because it just locks down and, you know, figures it out.
Yeah. They'll read that cow better the next time. And, the cutting, you know, if it's a good herd of cattle and everybody stays pretty even, you know, because they're all good horses. And then the rein work, everybody's got their, you know, everything wired tight and they got everything nailed down. So they're making pretty good rein work runs. And the steer stopping will separate you a little bit because, you know, if somebody misses or you draw a bad steer that won't run. Or a steer ducks his head and, you know, just messes up your run. But when it comes down to the fence work, that's where that cow can change everything. You know, you can have the best horse and just draw the kind of cow that won't run enough, so you just can't mark enough because you don't have the degree of difficulty.
Yep.
Or you draw a cow that just tricks you everywhere and runs real hard. So you really run hard, and then it just, and if a lot of those cattle, when they commit, and your horse will read that and just get right in the ground with that cow, you come out with that cow. And some of those cattle, you're running so hard, and those, some of those cattle can be so quick to get stopped and turned, they're ready to leave you hanging. And that'll sure make the difference.
So watching the cow horse, and I've watched a fair amount of it in the last probably 5 or 6 years, but in the go-arounds, will you, like, when you're going down the fence, in the go-arounds, if you have a couple of good scores and you're in a good spot, will you work that cow a little bit longer on the end and try and get him a little more tired and just
have it
solid, get in the finals type?
So that's really the only place you can make an adjustment in the cow work. So like in the rain, you can show a little harder. In the cutting, you can send them a little harder across there and so that your horse hits harder and, you know, you try to get your score up. But in the cow work, you just have to work the cow you get, because you can't take, there's really no chances to take, because it will bite you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you have to be in time with your cow and be smart. So the better cow you get, you know, your chances of your score being higher. So a really hard running cow, but a cow that honors you, is your best kind of cow. But to your point, like if it's a futurity for sure, a lot of guys will stay down there just a little bit longer and knock a little bit more air out of one, or get a little bit more, get that cow stopping a little bit more and reading you better before you take him. But usually in this event, you can't. You know, you just gotta.
You gotta go.
Get hooked up, whack him a few times and go. I mean, or you just, you know, if you're not trying to win something, they're not gonna mark you.
Right.
Right. But in the futurities or even the go rounds of the derbies, you can. If you're setting good, and they know why you're doing it, if you're setting good, you can knock that cow around just a little bit more to soften that cow up. So, but yeah, there's, when it's in the finals, you can't do it at all.
Yeah.
So for the world's greatest of the four parts of it, what part makes you the most nervous?
The rain, maybe. Because and you wouldn't think so, and a lot of guys would even say that, I think, because it's on you.
Yeah.
You know, where I can go cut the cow and as long as I'm just staying, you know, in time with the cow and get my job done, I'm going to be okay. And then I guess the steer stopping makes me pretty nervous too, because things can go wrong, you know, but.
That was kind of going to lead into my question, but it was a bit going to be a little different. Like which event did you feel more pressure showing in, like at the rain and futurity or at a cow horse show? Seems like everybody's so relaxed when you go to a cow horse show. And in my head, I always thought, well, they can blame their mistake on a cow.
Yeah.
So
that's
right. Why not just have a good time?
Well, we do, but, it's always nice, especially, you know, you're showing for an owner. And it's always nice if they're there and can see what's happening, because, you know, when you call them and say, oh, I only marked a 208 down the fence, you know, they're all like, oh, you know. And, but if they were there, they saw the, you know, the crappy cow you drew, they know what happened, you know. And I think there's a real good camaraderie there in the cow's world, because we all have to help each other because of the herd work, and we all cheer for each other down the fence because, you know, we know how hard it is. And, you know, like I said, you can be leading the whole thing and being the best horse, and if you don't drive the right cow, you just can't.
Yeah,
you're not going to get it done.
Yeah, it's kind of a roll of a dice. So,
you know, not last year, but the year before, I think when Philip Rawls won it on Mitch.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, just for instance, Chris Dawson was leading the whole thing, and I think Philip was last to go, second to last to go, down the fence. And I look over to my right, and here's Chris holding his daughter, just cheering like crazy for Philip, you know, and he's the one leading it.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't see that in a lot of other events, you know.
Yeah, for sure you don't. I mean, if I was there leading it, I wouldn't cheer for him.
Yeah, but that was different. That was a special year, too, though, because Philip and that horse were second four times or something.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody
like, everybody on the planet wanted that horse to get its due.
Yeah,
we were
cheering for him.
I get to your point. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of camaraderie there because you can't always just blame your mistake on the cow. So yeah. Why not?
But
just...
it helps.
Yeah.
You know, if I was doing it, the thing that would make me the most nervous is the fence work. Not going down the fence, but circling. When I see those guys going 100 miles an hour and those horses are slipping and sliding, and
it's a little spooky.
That would be the thing that spooked me the most.
Yeah. At the Derby, they had a big Derby in Paso Robles last summer, and I was showing a horse in the bridle, open bridle class, and I had a marked a 224 in the rain, and I drew a good cow, boxed it, went down, made a really good turn, come right out of that turn, down the fence, made another good turn, and in the middle we go, and this thing's boogieing. And I circled it one way, pulled off, and changed sides, and got right up to that cow, and I mean, my horse just, wham, just the ground got away from him, and we hit so hard, I've never hit that hard before, I had a concussion, and broke my collarbone, and it was a good one. But
what happened? What'd they mark me?
I'm not sure. I might still not be over it. I'm not sure. But yeah, it happens. You know, and then the next show, I just have to, like, I remember going to the next show and just, when I jumped in there to circle that cow, I kind of held my hand up a little bit and, you know, just made sure he didn't lay that shoulder down. Because if they'll stand up and keep that hip drove under there, they're okay, you know. But if they get to leaning around that corner, those feet shoot out from under you. There's not much you can do about it.
And you're showing more cow horses now than reiners, really.
Yeah, I don't have any reiners right now, and haven't had for a while.
Is it just because of a passion thing, or you just haven't had a reiner that you liked enough, and you have cow horses you really like showing?
Well, I mean, I love the reiner, and it's been great to me, but and I miss it. I would love to do it. I in the process of somehow just. Everybody thinks I just don't do it, so they just don't send me a reiner anymore, and I'm okay with it. But if the right one comes along, I'd sure show up.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure, and especially you haven't done it for a while, and so to go right now, and especially the way things are now, man, it with all the divisions you'd be eligible for, having not shown for a few years,
yeah,
it'd be like a cheat code for money.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter looked, and I'm eligible for every division because I haven't shown. And
that's great. Even the level one, would he be eligible for the level one?
Well, I don't know
you
about
can.
That.
No.
Even though he won the fraternity?
I think so. They changed the rules somewhere around there. They've
you would think, and being a million-dollar rider, you would think they wouldn't let you back in there. But,
Yeah.
If that's what they want to do, I'll do it.
Yeah, no kidding, right? No kidding.
And you're living in Scottsdale now?
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Yeah.
Back in the old stomping grounds?
Yeah. That's where I grew up, and my parents are still there and family, so I'm happy to be there.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you grew up in the horse business, 100%, right?
Oh, yeah. My dad, Jim Paul, he was a horse trainer, and right there in that area where I grew up, Shorty Freeman was right down the street, and Don Dodge, and John Hoyt, and so we all grew up together.
Yeah, that's kind of a hotbed now for, was it more of a cutting and cow horse area before? Yep.
I think once Brett Stone and myself were kind of the first ones to come over to the Raining. And once we did, then John Slack and Todd Bergen came, and it just kind of slowly
evolved.
Yeah, and now out there in North Scottsdale and Rio Verde, I mean, everybody's out
there. It's crazy
now.
Yeah.
What's it like, the change of that physical area? Like, I don't know if many of our viewers have been there before, but there's a ton of horse facilities in a few mile radius there, and now a ton of houses.
Yeah,
significantly different than when you first started doing it there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, when I was a kid growing up, that Dynamite Road was dirt. Dirt
really?
Road.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a dirt road.
That's cool.
And, but now, you know, I mean, everybody's out there, Andre and Mühlstetter.
Yeah, no, now it's crazy. And I can remember. Yeah, I can remember. It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe 10 years ago when guys were saying, and we love it out here, but it's really hard to make a living. And now, I mean, I think it's right there with Aubrey, Pilot Point,
maybe
in southern Oklahoma.
Maybe there's more business there.
It might. I mean, I guess if you really counted them, there'd be about the same amount of trainers there.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, several cowers, trainers, and cutters right there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So when you go back through, you were talking earlier about somebody asked you how your horses are riding, and you said, yeah, well, go ahead, you can tell it.
Well, both horses I'm showing here at the World's Greatest, I'm showing one in the World's Greatest event and one in the Open Bridle, and they're older horses, and lean a little to the right. He's 17 this year, and CD Highlight is 11. And Tracer called me the other day when I was driving here, and he said, how's your horses working? I said, pretty good. I've been riding them for 15 years. But yeah, it's neat to keep them older horses going. I'm really proud of it.
And if you got a couple of nice horses like that, I'd imagine it makes it kind of fun to come to the horse show too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And there, you know, it's funny. You don't really change what you're doing, you know. I'm probably preparing them the same as when they were five or six. You know, I don't really change much. I think I do a little, ride them a little bit shorter periods, you know. I don't drill them much, but I'll ride them twice a day sometimes if I just want to work on one little thing and go trot them around and work on this and put them away.
So,
and, I think that doing something more often, you get more benefit than doing it harder.
Yeah. So you'd rather ride them a couple times, do less on them, and
I think because they're creatures of habit, and you keep that muscle memory, right? I think you just have to do it more often, not harder.
Especially when they're older.
Yeah, for sure. They know the drill. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, keeping their mind right and the way they're waiting on you.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, we teach these things, whether it's a reiner, a cutter, a callus, we spend a year and a half teaching them to do what we do, and then we spend the rest of their life teaching them to wait.
Yeah.
You know, you teach them to spin, teach them to change lead, teach them to run and to stop, and then after a year and a half or 2 years of teaching them that, the rest of the time you're showing them, you're just teaching them to be patient. Be patient, wait.
No, don't do that. Right. No, don't do that. I didn't tell you to do it yet.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Do this. No, don't do it.
You know, I know you're considered as one of the elite actual horsemen in the industry, and not just a showman, not just a, because we all know that's different. Not just a showman, not just a horse trainer, but a horseman. And
well, I appreciate that.
You know, I think of the people that you've helped. I can remember, this is 100 years ago. I was a kid still living in Wisconsin, and I came down to the Southwest Fraternity, and you were showing there. And that was in Ardmore at that time, and still, but at that time it was in Ardmore. And I loved how your horses ran and stopped. And my dad said, well, go ask him how he does it. I can't do that. I can't go ask Randy how he does it. Yeah, well, then you're not going to know. If you don't know, just go ask him. So I walked up to you and asked you, and what do? How do you get those horses to stop? And I won't say exactly what you told me, but it was great advice. And to this day, I still use the exact same line that you told me when I'm explaining to people.
Minus a swear word or two?
Minus the...
yeah, throwing your hat down.
No. Well, it was very descriptive. And minus... I still use that description. I just don't think I'll use the description here. But it was... it made perfect sense to me. It was just like a lot of the things that you do with the horses. You know, you came and helped Mandy with a couple today. And it's so clear. It's easy. It's clear. It's not. It's like I always tell my guys working for me, just teach them to play a drum. Just bang a drum, not play the piano. Keep it simple.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, and that was your advice to me, to teach those horses to run and stop. And something that, I mean, I used forever and still tell people that work for me today. Use the exact same words. And I know you've helped a lot of people.
T-shirt?
I don't think we put it on a T-shirt. No, not exactly put it on a T-shirt.
I'm going to have to ask you later.
And just like Ricky Bobby, you know, when he said, oh, yeah, I was just saying that. When he said, if you're not first or last, he's going to go, I don't even use that. I don't know. Yeah. That was just some BS. I told you that.
No. Yeah, I just made that up.
No,
I got a feeling I still use it.
You changed his life with your line of BS that day, Randy.
No, because I saw him do it. So.
But I had somebody, I was doing a clinic one time, and I had some people ask me, how do you get your horse to stop with your head down so low? You know? And I thought for a second, and I had the microphone because I was doing a clinic. I said, well, at home, I have a strip of grass that grows right under the bottom rail of my fence. And I run them up to that fence, and right when they're done stopping, I let them put their head down and eat.
Eat that grass.
And pretty soon, it's just like a habit to them, and now they start dropping it in the middle of the stop.
They're like, wow, okay.
And I stayed straight-faced and never said a word. And about an hour later, I said, you know, I was just kidding.
if anybody wants to know, come up and, you know, ask me personally. Yeah. But... yeah, no, it was great advice, and all the people that you've helped through the years, and you know, I think I don't know them. I know there's a lot of people. You're one of the guys that people go to for horse training advice, because I know that, you know, you've put a lot of thought into it. It's not just show up and and jerk and spur. And
it's a craft for you.
It's a craft.
Like not really a results-based deal, but it is definitely you perform your craft with that animal, and whatever happens, happens after that.
Well, I think it's like I think if I was a football player or an athlete, which I'm definitely not, you know, this, if I did well and I won the futurity, and when I got home from the futurity, but it's easy to get in a rut to where, not like you think you know what you're doing, but you just kind of keep doing the same thing, you keep doing the same thing. You're having success, but I think you got to stop and say, what can I do to get better? You know, like every morning when you wake up, when you're having your coffee, what can I do today when I'm out there messing with these horses to make it better than I have been? And if you don't stop and question that yourself and say that kind of stuff to yourself, I think you get complacent. And like I said, you might even be successful, but why not try to get better, you know? And
yeah, I've always said, if you don't get 5% better every year, you're falling behind.
Yeah. You know, and the horses, you know, I always say, if you can make them that much better, like when we're playing with Mandy's horses today, I think they got that much better today.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, and 30 days later, they're that much better. Yep. Just keep it growing.
Yep, for sure.
So along with riding cow horses now, you're making, I see a lot of your stuff you're making, still making a bunch of stuff, huh?
Yeah, spurs and making bits, and I don't make a lot of spurs, but a few.
You haven't been making any more spurs? I know. No. Trevor needs a new pair. He's,
yeah.
He's, I don't know if he's been harassing you lately, but friend of the show, Trevor Dare.
Oh, I know Trevor.
I think he finally retired the ones that you made him.
Yeah, he.
I mean, if you made those.
He actually did tell me last time I saw him that he had them pretty wore out, that I needed to replace them.
Nope.
But yeah, I make a lot of bits. I don't ride that many anymore. I'm only riding about 6-7 head, and then I go in the shop in the afternoon.
That's fun.
You do drawing anymore?
Yeah. In fact, I just did, not sure if I'm supposed to say, but I'm going to, but Kimes Jeans, Matt Kimes, they had me draw some old-timey bucking horses, and they're going to put them on shirts.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
So they're sketches of kind of like rodeo posters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like old-timey bucking horses. Yeah. So they're pretty neat. I did 5 of them for them.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a great idea. That stuff needs to be on a T-shirt.
Yeah. And then they're and then if that goes good, they're going to have me do like a series of cartoons.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if anybody knows or if everybody knows that about you, but you're very artsy and artistic and not autistic, artistic.
Yeah, I might be a little bit of that too.
I mean, I think you can. And sing, you sing, play the guitar.
I play guitar and make noise.
Well, your dad was an artist too, right? He could draw pretty good, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. I can't keep up with him. He's really good.
And where? How'd he learn?
Drawing?
Just doodling?
I think so. Yeah. He never went to any art classes or anything. And then he played the guitar really good when he was young. He was a studio musician.
Okay.
Yeah, he could really play the guitar good. And my younger brother, he was a drummer in a band for a long time.
Really? And now Lindsay does a lot of plays.
Yeah, my daughter, she's in the theater, and in the Phoenix Theater, and they just got done running White Christmas and those kind of plays. And it's a really nice theater, dinner theater.
Yeah, I've been, I don't know where it was, but we've been to a couple of her plays. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really talented. I don't know where she got it. Yeah. But her mother, for sure.
That's awesome. So what, you have some 3-year-olds this year for the Cow Horse Fraternity?
I have one that I'm messing around with. I think he's okay. Yeah. And,
that's Latimer statement to say. You think he's okay?
Yeah.
That's what Dwayne would say if he was great or if he was just okay. So.
Well, this time of year,
it's hard to say.
I've never had one at this time of year that I was, maybe since Tinker with Guns or one of those kind, you know. But.
So this time of year on the Cow Horse 3-year-olds, what do you do the most on? Like, what have you done the most?
I think a lot of guys are. Do a lot of herd work and fly work, you know, and that's the hardest thing to teach them, believe it or not, is the herd.
Really?
Yep, it really is. And because I don't know exactly why it's so hard, but it's just to get that, you know, and a horse has to work a lot of cattle, so he reads the cow good. And
you can't overwork them every day, otherwise they're not interested anymore.
So well, you can work them every day, but...
You can't overwork them every day, though.
Yeah, I mean, like today, even I mean, it's an older horse, but I don't think we made 8 or 10 turns on this cow, and I just kept him kind of thinking of doing things right and left him fresh about it and quit, you know?
Yeah.
And if you work them too long, they just get to where they're like, okay, fine. You know, they're just doing a job, and you lose that.
Lose the spark.
Yeah, you lose that inquisitiveness and the ear flicking and the expression.
So now it's February. Going forward, like, during the week, do you do one thing? Do you go by the day per event, or do you go by the week per event? Do you, like,
personally, I like to do about 3 days of herd work, and then I'll go do at least three days of rain work. If you don't, you got to keep staying with one thing long enough to
figure it out.
Yeah. You know, and get it where it's the same, and then you can go work on rain work for 3 days. And a lot of guys will work on the rain work warming up till we go down the fence.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because typically, if we're doing herd work, we'll have the screws in the hind, in the sliders, so they don't slide by the cow. And then, so you don't do rain work much when you're cutting. But like when I'm getting ready to go down the fence, like in April, May, you know, you start really going down the fence. And I'll, you know, run big, fast, slow, small, slow, change them, you know, mess around with them a little bit, maybe even fence them a little bit to warm them up, and then go down the fence.
Was there any part of, like, now that you're more or less more training more cow horses now, is there any part of that system that you use that relates to reining also, or did you ride your reiners more in every specific part of the pattern? Because you kind of got to dumb them down a little bit. Could you keep a reiner too smart by treating them like a cow horse, or could you do a little bit every day to keep them fresher and and smarter about it? Or is there anything relative to both of them, or not really?
You know, whenever I do the rein work on a cow horse, I 100% just treat it like a reiner.
Huh.
And when I'm cutting, I treat it like a cutter.
Okay.
And when I go down the fence, I treat it like a cow horse. Huh. I just, that simple.
Yeah,
I don't ride it different. Any different than if I was going to show it at the rain for sure when I'm working on the rain work that day.
Hmm. When I watch,
it won't look like it's going to the rain for sure. But if you want to do the herd work, what the best horses in the herd are cutters. So, and the way the cutters are training them today, so that's how we're trying to train them.
Right.
You know, before, when I first got into it, you know, you could put all this stuff on them where they could jump back and forth, and the cow might even just be standing there, and they're quivering and jumping, and that they won't buy that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like now they want them to stop and let that cow move and really finish that turn and just. But more like the cutters now, where there's a lot of weight, hit straight, and come from behind all the way through that turn. And our horses are doing that now because everybody likes it.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah, it's more real.
And so the snaffle bit horses are doing that now. And as far as the rein work goes, I think a lot of guys are showing them with a little bit looser rein, they're a little more refined. They're stopping prettier. It's just gotten better.
And the fast and slow is more distinct than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, gosh, yeah. 20 years ago, it was a mess. But, you know, everybody's gotten so good. You know, it's just like the rain fraternity or the cutting fraternity. Everybody's so good at it. You know, you got to have that special horse.
What's cool for me is to watch somebody like Boyd Rice come in. I just use him as an example. Come in and he doesn't have, I mean, like, he's as good as they get in the cutting horse business. I mean, he didn't need another event. He didn't need, but he's, to me, like, I don't know Boyd personally, but he feels to me like he's one of those old-time horsemen.
He's a horseman.
And that's, yeah. You know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to do everything he can with a horse. And it's fun to see guys like that try to learn the rein work, because I've watched him show since when he started doing the cow horse stuff. His rein work has improved.
Big time, yeah.
Tremendously.
So I've seen a lot of cutters come in and try to do the cowers, and several of them have done great and they're still doing it. But one thing I saw them have trouble with is they were even having trouble with the herd work because they weren't used to handling the horse. And they're used to, you know, staying completely out of that horse's way and holding that horn and sitting right. a certain way. And when they had to do it with two hands and be able to handle that horse at the same time and have it still look like that, they felt, I think they were just a little bit out there like, it didn't look right.
Right.
And they were a little uncomfortable. Boyd, first time he did it, he just was awesome. You know, he just one of those guys. Spud Sheehan, he picked it up right away. And I've seen a couple other cutters come in and just struggle a little bit in the herd work, which is, and they're great cutters.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. And, but yeah, Boyd, he's, I used to help him with his rein work a long time ago. You know, I might ask him for help now. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he's not good at.
Yeah. No, yeah. it's fun to see that, to see somebody come into it. And as a reiner, it's fun to see a cutter come in and take the time and the effort to learn that part of it, you know.
And get better at the reining.
Oh, yeah, to get better at the reining and figure it out. Because it would have been, he didn't need it, you know, he was doing fantastic in the cutting. I mean, he sure didn't need another event. And he plays at the top end of it, and he's at all the events now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's awesome. He's good at everything. Yeah.
It's fun to watch those events.
You guys could come in and do it.
No, I couldn't.
All you would have to do is spend the time to learn the ins and outs and learn. It would take you a year or two of just showing and once you show enough, you start figuring out how to train better.
Figure out what you need.
I want to slow cow.
What you're training for.
Yeah, just slow cow.
Because you're all good horse trainers. But when you would first start, I know you've got some, you know, because your family did some cutting and stuff. And it wouldn't take you long, but.
I just want a slow cow. I want a cow that doesn't make my horse run too fast when we're in circles.
Isn't there a photo of you going down the fence up in Ardmore?
I don't think there
is,
Joe.
We should probably find that photo, yeah. Charlie. Pretty physical.
Guys,
it's real physical.
Don't you worry. Charlie's going to find the photo, and she's going to put a picture of it right here.
Yeah.
This isn't about me.
Yeah.
Sure it is.
I think all you see is Tom's spur, and he's flying off the front.
You know what?
So.
Tom's TM isn't on this sign. I thought it was all over it. I guess this ain't about him.
Yeah, because... We gotta find that photo.
We'll be at the Futurity or somewhere, especially the Futurity or Derby where you got two hands, you know, you're not holding a saddle on. And I've seen everybody do it, Boyd, me, you know, you.
I didn't know I could use the saddle horn, in fairness.
On a bridle horn, sure. Yeah.
And I was going, it was a charity thing at Ardmore. And who was helping me, Mandy? It
wasn't Don Murphy.
No. Nope.
Was it?
I remember hearing about that.
Oh, yeah.
And Dell.
Yep.
And
whoever.
And Sean Florida did it. Everybody did it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Tim did it. Tim,
Dell, you. Dwayne Latimer.
You did it?
I did it.
Yeah.
Maverick Smith did it.
Yeah, Maverick Smith.
But whoever was helping me, and I wish I could remember, because I remember that I liked the person too, and I just, my memory sucks. It's not, has nothing to do with them.
Was it Jason Grimshaw, or was it?
No. Grimshaw was helping me, maybe.
No, you know,
it doesn't matter.
I'll get back to Dover, but it doesn't matter. And so they tell me, okay, this horse, he'll shut you out a little bit. So over under him, when you get close to that cow, you just over under him. I'll cowboy up a little. I'm running down there and I over under him. And he gets, as soon as he gets to the head of that cow, he just shuts down. Like they knew this was going to happen. They set me up. And they knew this was going
to
happen.
They knew that he didn't need to over under that horse.
It
they were just
work.
They were catching him off guard, trying to get him hurt.
Yeah, and I remember
this is the result. But he stayed on.
Yeah, he stayed on. Right?
Yeah, I remember. Oh yeah, I remember looking at one point. I was looking between that horse's front legs, and the only thing keeping me on is my spur was hooked in the cannel.
No, boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was. And those guys, when I think it was Robbie Boyce. I really do. And I came out, and those guys were rolling laughing. They thought that was the funniest thing. But anyway, a little story I want to tell. A little story I want to tell about Jake Telford. So we call him Ofer because he came here one time before the rain and fraternity, and it was Jake and Troy Hikes and Todd Bergen, and we were out there shooting baskets. And I know you're a basketball aficionado.
Yeah, right.
I've played with you. You got some hoop in you.
Okay.
And we're
more
out there.
Than I do.
We're out there shooting free throws, and Jake Telford goes 0 for 10. And ever since, he's been 0 for to me.
He's been 0 for.
Yeah, 0 for.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll see him tomorrow. I'm
gonna... Yeah. Call him 0 for. He'll know.
Ofer.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, anybody watching this that's at the Cow Horse events, 0 for. Jake Telford, 0 for. Good times. Yeah, he came and showed a Rainier at the Rainier Fraternity. But there's a ton of guys that are going down the road in the Cow or Steel now that could cross over. And
I know Justin Wright. Because I was training out of the same place as him for a few years, and he was like, "Man, I'd like to go try that." I go, "You could do it easy. You know, you might.
You have to do it for a minute."
I said, "You're going to be a little lost in spots.
Yeah,
but after you show a few times, you'll get it."
Yeah.
You know, and some of those guys like Jake, and Jake's, you know, he's a pretty rider too, you know.
Yeah.
And
Chris Dawson's made the Open Fraternity Finals.
He can do it.
And he's not as pretty a rider as Jake.
No.
He doesn't really show that much raining anymore either, though. He's kind of
not at all. Never.
No. He's been showing some cutters.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right. I did see him at the Cut and Fraternity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed more of those guys going to the Cut and Fraternity.
But it's a little bit easier to, especially living down there, to cross over to that. You know, you've got the cattle and the facility. And
the horses are bred like that.
Your horses are bred to cut.
Yeah, that's...
And you might even have a few that just not very good at the rein work, but they're good on a cow. You can, you know, just... keep them in the cutting pen and you know, market them that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun to watch. I mean, when I watch we watch the Cutting Fraternity. I mean, I follow that stuff. I follow the Cutting Fraternity. I do.
Yeah.
When we're at the Raining Fraternity, I always pull up the results of the Cutting Fraternity. And, you know, whenever the Snafflebet Fraternity is going on, I always pull up the results. Cause it's fun. I don't know as many people as I used to, but you know, I know a few of them, and it's fun to follow it and watch it, and I haven't seen a ton of the like top end cow horse guys advance very far in the cutting yet, but it's coming, right?
No.
I mean, it's gonna happen.
I know Bergen, he's doing it a lot, and he's done well a few times, and I showed one there that I trained. Year before last, and I marked a 212 in the first go, and took it 213 to make the second go. But my mare was good. I was proud of her. I was proud to go back there and not look like a dummy.
Yeah.
But it's tough. I mean, it's just like all of our events, you just have to be mounted.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to, like we were talking about Justin, if he wanted to do the rain, he can do it.
He's got to go through
the
growing
pains. He's
such
a good hand, and he can show one. But, you know, there's all those little things that, you know, are going to take you to that next level, so you got to go show enough.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're showing cow horses, cutters, reiners. I think confidence plays such a big part of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how many times you won the Reining Fraternity or the World's Greatest Horseman or the Cow Horse Fraternity. Or when you walk down into the Fort Worth during the cutting, it's just different. It just takes a few trips to...
I was so nervous.
Yeah.
You know, and all these people that are like my heroes. I mean, like there's, you know, Matt Gaines and all these guys that Johnny Mitchell, and I'm like, I don't want to look like a dummy in front of them, you know. But I was happy. You know, my horse did her job, but she was real broke, but just wasn't enough. And I didn't really know how to really hang it out, you know, and really show her, like, you know, I'm just sitting there trying to get through it.
Yeah.
And I think if I went and showed her 4 or 5 years in a row, I could probably get better.
Yeah.
You know, but then you can show his confidence, like you said, and kind of hang, you know, hide the bad stuff and show off the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you go in there and you mark the 12 and a half, but it wasn't a 197. No, I mean, you didn't lose a cow.
Which is easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't run over and hang his head over the fence. Mm-hmm. And so the next time, you just have a little more confidence and a little. I just think no matter what it is, you just got to do it. Cade and I were talking about that today about some of the cow horse people catch riding for some of the reiners at the fraternity because they're eligible for all the divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't matter how good you are at that. It's still different when you come up there to the reining fraternity.
He asked me about that today.
Did he?
Because he mentioned a certain person that was going to maybe catch riding. And I said, well, it's a gal. I don't know if I'm supposed to say names, but she can show, and she's damn good. But I said to Kay today, I said, I've never seen her show a split range and be a reiner.
Yeah.
It's not the same. But
oh, good.
She can dang sure show.
That's what I told him. So that's it's good. We didn't even talk. We didn't even rehearse that. Yeah, I love it when he's wrong.
Yeah. I love it when he's wrong. Yeah. You love it when everybody's wrong.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's a fair statement. And like I told Kate, no doubt that person and 20 others could come do what we do if they did it.
Sure.
But it's just hard to step in there because when you walk it down that chute at Oklahoma City in amongst a bunch of reiners, it doesn't matter how much you've won anywhere else. It's just,
it's a different,
it's a different feel.
Win in Rome.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You gotta, so, I mean, you know, Corey Cushing is, and he's shown in the rain in a bunch as a kid and when he was a little bit earlier in his career. If he went to the rain for 30 this year, he would be a rusty.
Yes.
You know, and he might get through a go-around or something like that, but I'm sure he'd be the first to tell you that he said, man, I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
But if he went to a few horse shows and dedicated himself, he would be the top dog in the rain. And he is that
for sure.
Good.
Yeah, well, he's already been there.
He was already there.
He's all, you know, we tried to hire Corey when he was showing the reiners exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, no, you know, I really, really like the cows and I really want to do the cow horse. And I'm like, well, there's not really any future in that. But
at that time, there probably wasn't.
I guess it worked out for him, though.
Yeah, he's only the best money, so top money earner.
Yeah. $3-4 million in money? Or how much?
I don't know, probably 20.
Yeah. Yeah. So going. Touching on that, some of those, like Corey is mid-40s probably.
Yeah.
So, and
early 40s.
And I'm not saying you're old, but we've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Both in the prime time.
And both in the prime time. You're in the prime time.
Not yet. Joe. May. In May.
Yeah. Joe's gaining.
I'm 65 this year.
But when I watch the cow horse now, some of the guys that have been around for a while and been there and done that, and then versus some of the younger guys, it just looks like the younger guys throw caution to the wind and just just go. Where some of the guys that have been around, been in some wrecks, I mean,
it'll catch up.
Yeah, they're a little more cautious and take a little few less chances, and it looks like you can't take less chances if you want to be the winner.
Can't. No.
Is that a fair statement, or you know,
I watch them guys sometimes, and I'm like, I'm just like holding my hands like this. I can barely watch, because it's just they're that far from eating it,
right?
You know, you know, they're in there going wide open with their hair on fire, and if it works, they mark huge, you know.
Watching some of them guys get blown off their cow, and they take it anyway, and they go harder.
They keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets the crowd excited, and if they pull it off, that place goes bananas.
Yeah. And it doesn't Usually those judges are right, though. You should probably pull up.
Yeah.
Because it didn't usually work.
Yeah.
Very seldom.
So what's a judge think? If they blow you off at Cal and you go anywhere, do they get excited about it, too? Or they go, well, you so much, I blowed you off that Cal and you're still going.
No, they don't. They don't dust you the dummy points for going. But I think they just, you know, and I've judged before, and I don't have my card anymore, but I judged a lot, and you just judge. You know, right. It's like you didn't even blow the whistle.
Okay.
You just write down what they do, you know, to keep it simple. You know, you don't, the degree of difficulty is up there already, you know, because that's why you blew them off anyway, because the cow was being so tough.
And there's five judges. Does one guy have the control over blowing them off, or do they have to?
Well,
can anyone?
I wish I could tell you that. I think there's a couple of guys with the whistle.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure. Okay. I haven't judged in a while, and I'm not sure the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. So going back to the, I think it was the Snafflebit Finals where somebody crashed and burned, right? Was it the Snafflebit Finals?
Well, who crashed this year so hard?
Somebody got hurt.
It was I can't say his name, from Canada. He just moved to Texas.
Yeah. And he had a few, he had a couple in the finals.
He had three in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And he crashed and burned on his first one.
I can't say his name. That's terrible. And then it showed us, so first horse real good. Second horse had a bad fall, crashed hard. And like the horse stepped on his head and knocked him a little silly. No, I take that back. That was his first crash.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then when he tried to show, he showed a second horse, but didn't show it very well.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he was trying to get his third horse ready. And he started getting dizzy, and his wife said, hey, that's enough. And Katie Wilson.
Yes.
And and so they had Shelby show him down the fence, that last horse.
So my question was, and I wanted to ask somebody, and I never have, and you're the perfect person to ask because you've done the Rainers too. Is it easier to get on and catch ride one like that than it is just getting on? Like, if it was the Reigning Fraternity and that happened to somebody and you had to come out of the stands and get on their horse, is it easier in the cow horse?
I'd rather go down the fence. Because there's not really very many buttons.
Right.
It's all instinctual.
And that horse, at that point, I bet Kaylee had that horse pretty trained because he's a good trainer. And that horse is just going to work that cow, and Kelby's really good, so he could just go sell it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't know the horse. You don't know things where you should really help the horse, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, compared to a reiner where there's so many details.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
of how to really present that horse right, you know. And, like, showing off the good stuff and just getting through the bad stuff. And you know, where on that cow, you've got that cow to help pull that horse around and show that horse what to do, and you just be there to put him in the right spots. You know, when you box that cow and you start into that corner with that horse and that cow, your job is to put that horse in the right spot where that cow's going to run, keep running from you, kind of, but you're there to keep it on the fence. So you're pushing it, but they're hazing it to keep it on the fence. There's a sweet spot there. And some of those cattle, especially in the Will Rogers, they come around, the end is round. It's so difficult. Those cattle come around that corner and they want to just keep coming to you. And if you're not in the right spot, those cattle take you off the wall. Yeah. So now you're out in the middle. And, but our job is to put that horse in the right spot so he can do a job and that you can control the cow. If you're too tight, and you start to ride by, a lot of times that you're pinching that cow, and that cow sees daylight under your horse's neck, and he just keeps running. You've seen that happen, right?
Right.
You're too tight. And And then if you do get the cow stopped, you can barely get through the turns because you're against the fence. And they'll get you for hanging on the fence if you don't get that nose through there.
But that's kind of universal for a showman. That's what you're talking about is probably the same for all of them. Whereas when I'm thinking about, like, we have all went and tried a reiner for somebody after somebody's won a lot on it. I mean, we've all got on a reiner after somebody.
Not me.
And couldn't make stuff work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got to take them home.
I tried one of his once. I could barely steer it.
And I rode one of his, too, and he said, here, just lope this one around. And I moved my hand 1 inch to the right, and it steered and looked that way until it broke to a walk and then just stood there. I'm like, dude, how did you do that? And he just shrugged his shoulders and laughed at me, and I just steered.
Yeah, and you don't have to tell me about him. He worked for me for a while. I couldn't steer him either.
No, Gunny's awesome.
Pure genius over here. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, but that was my question when I watched that is, would it be easier just to get on? Because I think, see the cutters catch right a lot.
Yeah, they do it.
Successfully.
And there again, you have the...
The fraternity's been one on a catch right.
Yeah.
The cutting fraternity. Yeah. Whereas the reigning, that would be really hard to do.
But those guys that are catch riding, they've rode that horse at home and they know it.
That's fair.
In the cutting.
Yeah.
What about.
And like for Kelby to get on that horse, knows nothing about that horse.
Yeah.
And has to go down the fence in the flannels. And he got himself pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't the best cow, but. But that would be easier. I think even a cutter would be hard to just jump on it right there in the
warm-up
right.
And go. Might even be harder than to go down the fence. Because, you know, if you put a little too much leg or do this or do that to that cutter, I mean, you might send it out past that cow or, you know, there's things, there's so many buttons.
Yeah. Well, the only thing in the cutting or the reining, you're probably not going to die.
down
the fence, if it doesn't work right, I mean, it could go really wrong.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was a rule that you could have somebody else jump on your horse, too, until that event. I wonder.
One time at the Lazy E, when we used to have the NRBC at the Lazy E arena, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm dating myself. But, I was showing, we were showing, and Casey Hinton had a bay horse. It was a really cool horse, and he made the finals on him. And that morning, when we all got there, he was sick. I mean, like, just had the flu really bad, and he was up in about 20 horses. And we went in the office, and they let me show it for him. And it was only like 20 horses away.
Is that a rule now? I wonder if you can do that now.
Mark showed one for the finals for my dad when he had one of these weeks. My dad's in the hospital. He made the finals, and then Mark had showed the finals.
Yeah. I'm gonna have back then, they didn't have, they just, go ahead. You know, it wasn't any big deal.
Yeah, that's
so I don't know what the rule would be nowadays. But
it'd be it would make sense that you could. I mean, why not?
But like in this world's greatest event, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's about the one horse and one rider.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One horse, one rider, one bridle.
One bridle.
One bridle.
Yeah.
Are you showing at the world's greatest in a bridle you make?
Well, of course.
Are you bringing any bridles with you that anybody else made?
No.
And you brought two horses with you?
Yes, sir.
And how many bridles did you bring?
50.
Just checking.
Yeah. Gotta have my toolbox.
Yeah. I figured.
Spoken like a true horse trainer.
I figured.
No, I think I literally brought about 12 to 13 bridles.
Yeah.
For two horses.
Yeah.
Two older horses.
Yeah. 15 years in training.
And I probably won't even use them.
Yeah. But they know which ones are sitting
there. But they're there if I need them.
Yeah, right. Sometimes you just show it to them.
I'd be nervous if, my toolbox was empty.
Yeah.
Haven't used this bridle for 20 years. Better bring it.
Yeah.
Did you bring any to sell?
No, I...
They're all sold already.
I don't have time to make stuff just to bring to sell. So I do, because I take orders and I just make a couple a week and I never get caught up.
Neither does Gunny.
No. Yeah. Matthew Baton needs his bit. I saw him the other day.
I don't even take orders. I just tell people and just. Yeah. I'm surprised you would take orders, to be honest.
Well, I do. But my daughter actually does it for me, but she tells them it's going to be a couple months. Sometimes I get it done in a week, but I'd rather tell them a couple months. Then I'll get it done in a week and it'll be a couple of months.
Yeah.
You order something and then you text him and then you text him the next day and then a week later you keep bothering him. That also helps.
Yeah, bugging me helps. Yeah. It really does.
It puts it at the back of the list. Are you being serious right now? Or no?
No, if you text me and bug me, I get it made. Because I might forget.
If your name's Mandy. But if I bug you, you're like, leave me alone.
No.
I want to know about the ring, your new ring.
No. So they were, in the NRCHA was kind enough to put me in the
Hall of Fame.
NRCHA Hall of Fame.
Oh, right on.
I guess they were short that year.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But that was an honor. I didn't even know it was coming, and I had no idea. And, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's fun.
I think it's awesome that the NRCHA puts a lot of fantastic horse trainers and awesome trainers in their Hall of Fame. That's the one thing that I get discouraged about. I've told you passionately with swear words on the phone that there's several riders in the NRHA that I think are gods or idols that are never going to be in our Hall of Fame because of the criteria, you know?
What is the criteria?
Couldn't even tell you, but something to do with... I couldn't even tell you, but...
I don't know for sure either, but I think part of it is what did you give back? Not just what you've won, but what did you give back to the industry?
It's kind of written in a way that tends to shun people that have won a lot, like they take away from our association, but I look at it differently. I look at it as those people inspired generations of people to participate in reining. I mean, I don't know, to me...
Yeah, no, I
Michael Jordan got people playing basketball. Tiger Woods got people playing golf, and
I could sure name a few.
Yeah,
that I could sure see in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
and I was even when I first came into the reining. I think it was 1987. First time I never even heard of the NRHA out where I was. We had stock horses, and we did a reining pattern, but it was just different, you know. It was in the roll mouths and up in the bridle, and just different.
Yeah.
And it didn't have anything to do with a cow. It was just called a stock horse. And I first saw the reining, and I was kind of in a transition where I worked for my dad and Don Dodge and Gary Belfont. They all trained out of my dad's place when I was real young. And so I got to work for them and worked for Mike Mallory for a year. And went spent time with Matlock when I was real young. But when I came from them, because all we had was cutters at the time. And... I moved back to Arizona and married Andy, and we had pleasure horses and western riding and trail and rope horses. I mean, we had everything and a few reiners, which for AQHA reining. And I didn't like it. I told her one day, I said, I either want to cut or maybe we could do this reining thing. And I don't want to do all this other stuff. And so I sent a whole bunch of horses home, and I had three little reining horses. And so we just ate macaroni and cheese, and we got by the best we could until I got a few more horses to ride. And I thought, well, I better go try to learn something. And of course, then the biggest name that I saw just from looking from the outside in was Bob Loomis, because he was winning everything right then. And so I called Bob and I said, "Hey, I Randy Paul and blah, blah, blah." He was, "Oh, yeah, I know your dad." And I said, "Can I come and ride with you?" Well, I'd show up at his place and about a week before the futurity, and he's, the very first time I walked out onto the track, he's loping around on Sophie Oak. And I think it was 87 or 88 or something. And so he, and I'm watching him ride this horse, and I'm like, "Dang, this thing's fancy, you know, and doing all this cool stuff." And the little mare I had with me, I just brought her to show in the novice class, you know, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And so I hung around there for a week and went to the futurity with him and watched him, well, he won the futurity on her. So I thought, "Wow, this is pretty cool." And so I went home and got a three-year-old. And
that's cool.
And then the, came back the next year and got to ride around with Tim McCoy. And spent, you know, that some time, I think a week or something, before the futurity. And, of course, I didn't do any good at all. But, and I think, what was that when he won it on the little brown horse? What was his name? Mr. Melody Jack.
Yeah. You were a good luck charm.
Gosh, dang it. Yeah.
And I, what are you doing this year during the fraternity? Yeah. Can was, we borrow you?
I was showing up with these donkeys, you know, and doing the best I could. And, but one thing I could do is I could, these things, I had them where they'd run and just squat, you know, just do the paw stall, they called it. But just run down there and blam. And I think a lot of guys weren't used to seeing that because they were more of a skate, you know, right. They'd slide.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't have any ground like that. We had deep ground, you know, roping pins.
Yeah.
So I'd just have them, you know, just run and stop. So I, first couple of times I showed, I'd plus good in the stops, but it just minus everything else. And, but anyway, I just kept coming and kept coming and, figured out how to do a little of it. And I think, you know, Bob helped me a ton, but I think I learned the most from Tim. You know, he's probably the best horseman I've ever been around.
Well, and I think Tim was probably, of everybody, probably the best teacher.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think it was good. Once I got pretty good at it, too, it was good because I'd come and if he was doing something, I'd be like, "Come on." You know, and challenge each other a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Just argue with him.
We'd spend a week before the futurity trying to do better than each other. So by the time we got there, we were pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, Randy, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Good
cool. Appreciate
for
it.
Cool yeah, stories.
Good luck this week.
That was painless. That wasn't what I heard it was going to be. But that's
well, we didn't have any video clips to make fun of you like we did Jason last week.
Yeah, we were pretty tough on Jason.
Next time, we'll make it a thing.
Yeah. Make sure we get those teed up for the next time. Yeah, next time you're here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, well, very awesome. Good.
Yeah,
well,
thank you very much.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, good luck Randy. This
good
week,
luck.
Man.
Thank you.
We'll very be following good. It.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Grow the show.